Today we start a new story. This is a story about Yankel. And Yankel was very sad. Yankel had a big problem. Yankel needs 1,000 rubles. You know what's 1,000 rubles? Like $10,000. Yankel has a daughter, and she's old enough to be married, but a chasuna costs money, and that the girl should get set up in a new home with a chasun, and to buy all the things they need, this costs money, and Yankel has to provide, has to give his daughter enough money for the chasuna and to start her new home, and he needs 1,000 rubles, and in his pocket he has exactly 1 ruble. That's like you have $1 and you need $1,000, and even more than $1,000, because a ruble was probably worth more. And Yankel says, I tried to work, I tried to get money, I tried different ways, but I just have 1 ruble. And my daughter can't get married till I have 1,000 rubles. I'm going to my Rebbe to ask him for a bracha. And Yankel went to his Rebbe. And he goes into his Rebbe and he cries about the problem. And his Rebbe is listening to him. And he says, Yankel, don't worry. Trust in Hashem. Hashem will help. And I'll tell you what you should do. Go back home, and either on the way home or when you get home, find the first thing that you can to buy for 1 ruble, because that's all you have left. Excuse me. All you have left is 1 ruble. Find the first thing that you can buy for 1 ruble, and from that thing, Hashem will help that you'll be able to get 1,000 rubles. And of course, Yankel is thinking, how can a thing that's worth 1 ruble get for me 1,000 rubles? But of course, Kinalach, Yankel knew that when you are asking your Rebbe a question, and when you're receiving an answer from a tzaddik, from your Rebbe, you can't necessarily figure out in your brain and in your head, with your own mind, exactly how things are going to work out. Kinalach, do we try to figure it out, or do we do in a way of nasa v'nishma? First we'll do it, later on we'll understand it, even though we don't understand in the beginning. This is called Kabbalas Oil. We do it, we trust in Hashem. And of course, the answer from a tzaddik is like an answer from Hashem himself, Kinalach. And so Yankel left his Rebbe, and he's going on the way home, and he's too poor to afford a ride on a horse or wagon, and he's walking, and he's keeping his 1 ruble in his pocket to be able to buy something. And on the way, he was getting very tired, and he stopped in to a place to rest, like a hotel. I don't even know how he would pay for a room from the hotel if he's only got that 1 ruble. Maybe he just stopped to put his head down on a table. But he went in there and he sat down by a table on a chair and he rested, sitting down. And he saw across the room a group of men sitting around a table, and they're talking. And they're talking like very excited. And they seem to be very, very busy with something on the table. And they're all talking about it, and they're looking down on the table. And Yankel was very curious. I wonder what they're excited about. I wonder what's on the table. Must be very interesting. They look like businessmen. They look like very rich businessmen. And Yankel just sort of, you know, peeked over there, and he saw on the table, he saw the most beautiful, expensive jewels. Diamonds, and gold and silver and special kinds of jewels and expensive jewelry. Oh boy, is that beautiful. And he heard that they were arguing about buying and selling. They were arguing about different prices and how much a thing was worth. It was worth 5,000 rubles or 3,000 rubles, and where to buy it and where to sell it, and all kinds of, you know, businessmen stuff and money things, which Yankel didn't know too much about. And Yankel was, you know, he wasn't really exactly thinking about every step he was taking, but it was just so interesting to see so much jewelry on one table and to see all these people, you know, talking and arguing about prices. And he never really saw this up close before. And the more he looked at the jewelry, the more beautiful it looked. He wanted to get a little bit closer look. He found himself, without thinking, going step by step closer to the table until he was right next to the table. And all of a sudden, the businessmen look up and they see this Yid, you know, Yankel. I mean, they were also Yidden, but they weren't exactly connected with a tzaddik, with a chassid, with a rebbe. They weren't exactly connected with a rebbe in the same way as Yankel, as you'll see. And exactly how careful they were in keeping Torah mitzvahs, I don't know, as we're going to see, but they were Jews. And all of a sudden they see this poor man, Yankel, standing next to them. A poor, simple man. Maybe he was even a farmer. But he was a simple man and a poor man. And he's standing next to these very rich, important businessmen with all their jewels. And they look up and they say, "Oh, who are you?" I'm Yankel. "Oh, probably you want to buy some jewelry, right? That's why you're here." Yankel says, "Well, I would love to." "Okay, how much do you have? How much money do you have? We'll see what you could buy." "Well, I have 1 ruble. "Ha! 1 ruble? And they start to laugh. 1 ruble? The cheapest thing on this table cost a few thousand rubles, and you have 1 ruble, and you want to buy a diamond, you want to buy a jewel, you want to buy something, a ring or something?" And they're laughing. They think it's the biggest joke in the world that Yankel wants to buy something for 1 ruble. And all of a sudden, one of the businessmen, Nakinalach, as we're going to see, this is not very nice, and this is certainly a big shot thing to do, and a person that's not very careful in his connection with Hashem. This is what he said to Yankel. "Okay, I'll sell you something for 1 ruble. Tell you what it is." And he looks at his other businessmen friends and he winks his eye like he's going to make a big joke. He says, "I will sell you my chelik in Olam Haba. I will sell you my portion in Olam Haba." As we know, of course, everybody has a place in Gan Eden, in Olam Haba, and Kinalach. Of course, if we are careful in our connection with Hashem and Torah mitzvahs, we know that Olam Haba is very, very important and very halik. And there's so many things about Olam Haba. And just to treat it as a joke, chas shalom, we know this is very not the way to do things. But this is in the story, you're going to hear what happened. The man is laughing and he says, "I'm going to sell you my part in Olam Haba for 1 ruble. You want to buy it?" Yankel says, "Yes." And the other businessmen are laughing. "Look, he wants to buy Olam Haba for 1 ruble from this businessman. Ha ha. Okay, let's do it." And Yankel says, "Well, I don't want to make a joke out of it. I want to do it for real. So we need to write up a paper, and we need to sign it, and we need witnesses, and we need to make it like a regular, real sale." And they were laughing. "Oh, this is going to be so much fun." And we will continue Kinalach next week. You're going to see this is a very interesting story. It's kind of long. And we'll see what happens. All right. The businessmen are laughing at Yankel, but they want to make a good joke out of it. So the bigger the joke, the better. They get a paper. They write down, Yankel buys for 1 ruble the part of Olam Haba from so-and-so, the businessman, whatever his name was. So-and-so, the businessman, sells his chelik in Olam Haba to Yankel for 1 ruble. And they put his first name and his last name, this man who sells the chelik in Olam Haba. They put Yankel's name, and they have 2 witnesses, 2 edim, and they sign their names. And they make an official paper like that. And of course, in the end, Yankel gives the ruble to the man. And maybe they make a kinyan on a handkerchief or something, like you see they do by a vort. You know, they hold up a handkerchief, they make it, it's called a kinyan. And they do the sale. And now Yankel buys Olam Haba from this man for 1 ruble, his chelik in Olam Haba. And the businessmen are laughing. And it's such a joke. And Yankel goes back to his table to rest. And they're laughing at him and pointing and thinking it's a big joke. And Yankel doesn't care. All of a sudden, Kenelach, a woman, a lady, comes into the hotel. And she's dressed in very beautiful, fancy clothes and beautiful jewelry. And all of a sudden she comes into the hotel and she walks over to the table of the jewelry businessman while they're laughing. And all of a sudden she says, "What's going on? What's so funny?" And she's looking at one of the men, and it happens to be that that man she's looking at is her husband, and she is the wife. And she happens to be the wife of the man who just sold his chelik in Olam Haba for a ruble. His wife just came into the hotel. What's so funny? There must be something very funny, a very funny thing going on. What is it? And they say, "Oh boy, we just had the best time. Such a joke." And her husband points to Yankel. "See that poor man over there? I got his last ruble. You know how I got it? I sold him my chelik and Olam Haba for a ruble. Isn't that a good joke?" And he's throwing back his head, laughing. And then all of a sudden, when he puts his head forward again, he opens his eyes, he looks at his wife, and all of a sudden he stops laughing. Oh boy, is she upset. Is she angry at him? She says, "You what? You sold your chelik and Olam Haba for a ruble? A chutzpah? A little bit of Kedusha, some little good thing that you still have about yourself, some little bit of a connection to Hashem that you have for yourself, that maybe you did some mitzvahs in your life, and you sell that away for a ruble? Are you kidding? This is how you treat Olam Haba? Yeah, it's just a joke. I mean, you know, a joke?" And another man says, "Well, you did make a paper and you signed your name and there were witnesses." She says, "That's a joke? That's real. You really sold it. If you made a paper with witnesses and everything, this doesn't sound like a joke." "That's just a joke." She says, "That's not a joke. Any man who does that, I'm sorry, I don't want him for my husband. You're going to act like that? You're going to make such a chutzpah like that? I don't want you anymore for my husband. I'm going to the Rav. I don't want you anymore for my husband. Finished." "Yeah, but. What do you mean, but? You did this chutzpah thing? I don't want to live with you anymore as my husband. I want the divorce. I want to get. And I'm going to the Rav. That's it. Finished." And the man gets out of his chair. "Hey, but my wife, don't worry. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Watch." He goes over to Yankel, sits down by the table. He says, "Listen, you know, I got carried away. It's just a joke. Give me back the paper, and I'll give you back your ruble. And, you know, it's just a joke. Come on." Yankel says, "It wasn't a joke. I wanted to buy your chelik in Olam Haba for a ruble. This was something real. I know it wasn't a joke. And I'm not giving you back the paper. And I don't want my ruble back. This is a real sale. It wasn't a joke at all. Ah, come on. It was just a joke. Now, give me back the paper. You know, I'll give you a few rubles. Come on. I'll give you a few rubles. The uncle says, I'm sorry. It wasn't a joke, and I don't want it back for even a few rubles. I'm not going to give it back even for a few rubles. This wasn't a joke, and I will not give the paper back even for a few rubles. I'll keep the paper. The man says, wait a minute. So how much do you want for the paper back? How much do you want that you should give me back the paper? The uncle says, 1,000 rubles. 1,000 rubles? For a joke? For a piece of paper? Are you kidding? The uncle says, no, I'm not kidding at all. 1,000 rubles. If you give me 1,000 rubles, I'll give you back the paper. Otherwise, I'm keeping it. He says, ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I'm sorry. And he goes away from the uncle's table and he goes back to his wife. That man wants 1,000 rubles for the paper. Forget it. She says, what do you mean forget it? I don't care if you have to give him 5,000 rubles. Unless you get the paper back, I'm going to the Rav and I want a divorce. I don't want to live with you anymore. And I'm forget it. I don't care what you have to pay him. You're getting that paper back. He says, but 1,000 rubles? She says, I don't care what it is. You get that paper back. He goes over to the uncle. He reaches in his pocket. He takes out 1,000 rubles. And he gives Yankel 1,000 rubles. Yankel takes the 1,000 rubles and he gives the man back the paper. The man takes the paper and he rips it up into little pieces. Kinalach, Yankel felt that he should explain to the woman why he asked for 1,000 rubles. And he went over to the woman and he told her the whole thing from the beginning, that he has a daughter, she needs money to be married for the chasana and to get set up with all the things that the chasana and the kala need. And he went to his Rebbe and he cried that he only had 1 ruble. And his Rebbe told him that on the way home, you should find the first thing that you can buy for the ruble. And from that, you will be able to get 1,000 rubles. And that's exactly what happened. And he says, this was a bracha from Hashem that came through the bracha of my Rebbe. And Kinalach, when the woman heard that, she was very impressed and she was very excited. This woman had a feeling for Halakite, and she saw that the whole thing was from Hashem. And she was very excited and she wanted to go and she wanted to meet his Rebbe. And she also wanted a bracha from his Rebbe. And she said, I want to know where your Rebbe is. I want to go to him. And I also have a very important question to ask your Rebbe, because something now bothered her. She traveled to Yankel's Rebbe. And she went into the Rebbe. And she said, Rebbe, my husband paid 1,000 rubles for a piece of paper. And what happened was, he sold his chelik and olam haba for 1 ruble. My question is, Rebbe, was his olam haba really only worth 1 ruble? I know the way he acted, and I know that it was a very wrong thing to do. But I know that it was also a real sale. It wasn't just a joke. So when he actually sold his chelik and olam haba for 1 ruble, is that all it was worth, really? Was 1 ruble? And the Rebbe smiled and he says, at the time that he sold it, it was worth less than a ruble. Because this man, Kinalach, apparently was not exactly a Torah mitzvahs man. Apparently he had a lot of avedis. So at the time that he sold his chelik and olam haba, it wasn't even worth 1 ruble. But the Rebbe said, after he bought it back for 1,000 rubles, and he realized that he had made a mistake, and he realized he shouldn't have done it, and also he was giving so much money to help a chassan and a kala. Who remembers, they say in the morning, the mitzvah of hachnosas kala. Who remembers in Elul Dvarim, hachnosas kala means when you help a kala, you help a girl to be married, especially, of course, a girl who doesn't have enough money, and a person gives money to help a chassan and a kala. This is the mitzvah of hachnosas kala. When he did that mitzvah, not only his chelik and olam haba is worth more than 1,000 rubles, it's worth more than any gold and silver and diamonds that you can think about. It shot up. His chelik and olam haba shot up how much it's worth because of the mitzvah that he did. So Kinalach, who do you think was helped in this story? Just Yankel, just his daughter, or even the man who sold his chelik and olam haba for a ruble? Who do you think was helped? Who do you think was helped?
Even the man who sold his chelik and olam haba for 1 ruble.
That's right. The kala was helped, and the chosn was helped, and Yanko was helped, and his family was helped. But probably more than anybody, that man was helped to do tshuva. Now, Kinalach, what did Hashem use to build the world? Now, the building over there, as you see, the builder had to use something to build the building. So what did he use over there? Bricks, right? Now, the Eibishter used something to build the world. What do you think Hashem used to build the world? Like Legos, or maybe he used spaghetti, face, I don't know. What do you think Hashem used to build the world?
His words.
Very good. And what are words made out of? In other words, to say a word is made out of also smaller parts from, the word is made out of smaller parts than the word itself. How do you build a word? Out of what?
A letter.
Very good. Okay. Kinalach, it says that the Eibishter used to make the whole world only 2 letters. Because by Hashem, the whole world was such a nothing to make. Hashem is so great. To make the world was like nothing. If a person builds a building, he gets so tired and schwitzy, and by the end of the day he has to go in his bed and go to sleep because he's so tired. Because to build a building is a big thing. It takes a lot of koyach. But Hashem, to make the world, was mamish like nothing, like 2 letters. Not only 2 letters, 2 special letters. Now I'm going to tell you what they are. The higher worlds and Olam Haba was made with the letter Yud, because the letter Yud is the smallest letter. If I make a dot, that's already a Yud. The smallest letter is the Yud. So the higher worlds and the Ruchniyistika worlds were made with the Yud. And this world, Olam Hazeh, was made with the easiest letter. Now, what is the easiest letter in the whole Aleph base? Of all the letters, what is the easiest letter to say? What is the easiest letter out of all the letters of the Aleph base to say?
Aleph.
No, look at this. Aleph. Ooh, I have to work pretty hard. I have to go ah, then I have to go le with my tongue, then I have to go f with my lips. F, I have to blow all this air and use my lips. Aleph. Oh, what a hard letter to say. Okay, what is now the easiest letter?
Beis.
Beis. Look at this. B. Beis. Ooh, do I have to work? B. And s with my lips, and I have to blow air through my teeth. What is the easiest letter?
Nun.
Nun. Oh, I have to use my tongue against my teeth. Nun. And I have to schlep it out a little bit. Boys are figuring out the easiest letter of the Aleph base.
Chaf.
Oh boy, chaf. Oh, my throat. Chaf. then my lips and the teeth, I have to use a lot of things over there. What is the easiest letter of the alabase to say?
Pay.
Pay. Oh my, my lips. Pay. Then I have to use my throat. Pay. Pay. No, not pay.
Zadig.
Oh, that's a big one. Pretty hard letter to say.
Hey.
Exactly. Oh boy, what a smart boy. Listen to this. Hey, all you have to do is go like this. Just let out some breath. Let out some air. I don't have to use my throat. I don't have to use my tongue. I don't have to use my teeth. I don't have to use my lips. Look at this. Now look. For Hashem to make this world with all the oceans and the mountains and even in the space with all the stars and all the planets and the sun and the moon, which is Olam Hazeh, and the whole world and everything in it, all he had to do is go like this. Look how easy it is for Hashem. Of course, it's even easier because we're using the way we think that a person is going. And he did something. By Hashem, it's even less than that. But it's a way to understand. Hashem to make the world just like this. Do you get tired after doing that? Did it take away your koyaches to do that? No. Okay. Now the Torah is teaching, boys, two things. The Torah is teaching us that the Eibishter made, Hashem made the world with a hay. But not only a regular hay. What does the hay look like in the word Behi Bar'am? Is it a regular hay or something special about the hay? Is it a big, gigantic hay? Is it a regular size hay? Or a little teeny, weeny, tiny hay?
A teeny hay.
A little hay. So when Hashem made the whole world, it wasn't even just a regular, it was a little tiny, that's it. A tiny hay. Okay? That's one thing. So one thing can allow for the Eibishter to make the world. The higher worlds, and I told you in the higher worlds, how big is Malach Mechoyel? Who remembers? This is only one Malach who lives up there. How big is Malach Mechoyel? Who knows? Because you have to get an idea about how big the worlds are and then how small they are for Hashem. How big is Malach Mechoyel?
3 times bigger than the whole world.
Exactly. And you know how many thousands of malachim belong up there? Big malachim? Okay? You can imagine that the higher worlds are very, very big. Bigger than this world. And how many himmels are there? How many himmels of higher worlds?
Seven.
Seven himmels. And all of that is created from the smallest letter yud. And this whole big world, what seems so big with big oceans and big mountains and a sky and the sun and moon and stars are huge, is only a... So, Ken Allah, from this we know that Hashem is so great. Hashem is higher than whatever we can imagine how great He is. And the world is like nothing. Now, the second thing. Look at this word over here. I'm writing on the board. Behi Bar'am, right? Okay, now we also learned Hashem made the world for a reason. Not just because He wanted oceans, and not because just He wanted a sky or the sun, moon, and stars. He created the world, as we know, for what? Why did Hashem make a world? What does He need a world for? For what?
Mitzvahs.
Mitzvahs and learning?
Torah.
And who was the first Yid?
Avraham.
Now watch this. Avraham Avinu was the first Yid. Watch this. Behi Bar'am. Why did Hashem make the world? Watch this. Shh. Okay. Aleph, over here. Okay. Vase. I'm circling what I use. Vase, over here. Resh, over here. Hey, over here. Mem, over here. What did I write? Avraham. Hashem created the world for Avraham. In other words, for Avraham Avinu to... okay. Hashem made the world for Avraham and all the Yidden who are like Avraham Avinu that learn Torah and do mitzvahs. So that's in the world, that's in the word.